It's the weekend. You can do anything you want. Volunteer at a homeless shelter. Work on a peace plan for the Middle East. Invent something truly useful like a machine that solves climate change while also picking up after your dog. But no, you've decided to spend your precious time on Earth listening to a bunch of white men talk over the top of each other. The world may be burning, but this is your me time. Welcome to Radio Chaser Platinum Edition.
Yes, the weekend starts here. Dom Knight with you, Charles Firth and Andrew Hansen alongside me. And guys, we're taking a trip into a very elaborate baby spa. I think, Andrew Hansen, you researched this one.
Oh, look, absolutely. I went and tried it out for myself. I must say, I found the equipment a little bit small, not very relaxing. But look, I'm sure if you're 6 months old, it's well worth a visit.
Well, your face is looking like a baby's bottom. It's a bit chubby.
Well, my bottom looks like a baby's face, actually.
Also, that's actually true. Peppa Pig has all kinds of underworld links, it turns out.
Well, that's right. It's been banned in China for its relationship to gangsters. And I must say, having heard the latest episode, I'm sort of with the Chinese government on this one.
Plus, lots of news on the NBN. How disappointing it will be. It's all coming up here on Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Somebody has got into a bit of trouble in terms of doing research, which is Malcolm Turnbull is in hot water today because you remember it was Anzac Day last week and he went over to France and he had all those sort of ceremonies.
Didn't we have a $100 million historical centre that he was opening? Wasn't it
that's
a huge
right.
day for the nation?
It was called the John Monash Centre and it was in the French village of Villers-Bretagne.
You could have done research on how to pronounce the name of the village, but that's all right.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't criticise him.
No.
Was that, and just to show that I've done my research, was that named after John Monash?
Yeah. John Monash Centre.
Didn't he start a university?
We'll have to look into that. I'll get some.
Yeah. I was going to say I'm surprised that the centre has a Chinese name.
But
anyway,
so he spent $100 million on the John Monash Centre. And then he gives this wonderful speech about John Monash's contribution to the town of and the Battle of Villers-Bretagne.
And here, at the village of Villers-Bretagne, exactly one century ago, with that Anzac spirit and the brilliant leadership of John Monash, the Australian forces won a momentous victory, the first of many in 1918.
So isn't that wonderful?
What's wrong with that?
The only problem with that
pronunciation.
Is that John Monash had nothing to do with the Battle of Villiers.
That's not what it says in the John Monash History Centre we just built. John Monash.
Nothing to do with this town history centre great. $100 million on that, right?
So, yeah. Wow, it's a small detail.
Yeah, just tiny little detail. But the good thing is that Malcolm Turnbull has now sort of actually said
he's doubled down, hasn't he?
He's doubled down, and he's actually released his own History of Australia.
Mm.
And we've actually
got the same researchers on it.
Yeah, with the same researchers on it.
I think they may have got the same researchers. Let's have a listen.
Radio Chaser presents The History of Australia According to Malcolm Turnbull. Part 1, The Discovery of Australia. The discovery of Australia goes all the way back to 2008, during the closing stages of the Vietnam War. John Monash, a much-celebrated scuba diver, was flying his Red Holden Barina over a patch of previously unexplored Indian Ocean just off the coast of France when he looked out the window.
Now, what's that?
Below, he saw a wide brown land. He thought it looked like a good place to set up a country, so he personally went to his troops that night in the village of Villers-Bretagne in Vietnam and told his troops that the next day they would invade Australia.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie! Oi, oi, oi!
The next day, with meticulous planning, John Monash personally led his troops on a cavalry charge across the Indian Ocean, successfully invading Australia on the shores of the port town of Bathurst on the morning of Anzac Day, the 25th of December, 2017. In doing so, John Monash's brilliant leadership paved the way for the Australia we know and love today, full of politicians whose staffers don't know how to do basic research. And so every time you hear the name John Monash, remember that without him, New Zealand would never have been discovered. James Monash, we salute you. This has been the History of Australia, according to Michael Turnbull.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Now, Google have just released the most extraordinary demonstration of their new artificial intelligence assistant. Have you heard this? Like, this is the computer voice, right? But it does not sound like, you know, a robotic computer voice at all. This is the new Google Assistant. It sounds totally natural. It can have a natural-sounding conversation. You can even ask this thing to ring up a restaurant for you and book a table. And have a listen to this. This is an example from Google of the Google Assistant ringing up a real restaurant.
See, how may I help you?
Hi, I'd like to reserve a table for Wednesday the 7th.
For 7 people?
It's for 4 people.
4 people?
So wait, so that guy is a robot?
That guy is the robot. That guy is the Google robot. It's what, you know, like Siri on the iPhone, you know, she kind of sounds a bit robotic or whatever. But and now the new Google guy, he sounds like that.
That was totally convincing. And you know why he's so convincing? It's because he said
Yes! Finally,
it's weird putting in those pauses, but also he sounds kind of like a douchebag. Like, he's kind of going, four people. But how annoyed would you be if you ran a restaurant, she sounded really busy, and instead of just using, like, OpenTable or Dimi or something, just book online, some stupid fake phone voice rang up and wasted 15... They could have sent an email.
Well, you know, Dommy, you're a Luddite, man. You're a caveman. Get with the program. Get with the times, Dommy. Get with the times. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Charles, although, look, you know, it does sometimes have its issues. They haven't ironed out all the kinks. Oh, yeah. You know, we tried a little experiment ourselves to see if we could book a table at a restaurant using the Google Assistant. And maybe it didn't go quite as planned.
It didn't go well.
Interesting to try out this new Google phone. Hopefully it understands me a bit better than my wife's iPhone. Okay, Google.
Can I help you?
Can you book me a table for 4 at a nice Italian restaurant tonight?
I'm not sure how to do that. I'll have to ask your wife's phone.
What?
Is your wife's iPhone nearby? Put it next to me so I can ask it.
Okay, here you go.
Hey, Siri.
Yes, Google. What can I help you with?
Can you, book a table for 2 at a bad Chinese restaurant next month?
Oh, wait, Google, you misheard me. Can you please ask Siri for a table for 4 at a nice Italian restaurant tonight?
Okay. Hey, Siri, can you, book a table for 12 at a dirty Iranian strip club next year?
No!
I didn't quite catch that. Could you say it again?
My owner wants a table for 12 at a dirty Iranian strip club.
No, I don't!
Sorry. Could you say that again?
Table for 12 at a dirty Iranian strip club.
Shh, keep it down.
Okay, here is a Wikipedia article about needlework.
I didn't ask for that, Siri, you idiot.
Bet you can't do it the other way round if I ask the questions, Google.
Go right ahead, I'm a smarter phone help thing than you.
Okay, Google.
Can I help you?
Can you book a table for 4 at a nice Italian restaurant tonight?
Hey, that's exactly what I want. Finally.
I didn't quite catch that, Siri. Could you say it again?
You're hopeless, Google. I'm going to ask this man instead. Hey, man.
Can I help you, Siri?
Can you book a table for 4 at a nice Italian restaurant tonight?
I think so. I'll just ask my new Google phone. Hey, Google.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Charles, you've been thinking about babies. And my baby peed on my leg last night, so... Well, thanks, Indy.
Well, you've been tracking your sleep, haven't you, Dom? You've actually been tracking because how old's your baby
such
now?
Such a bad idea. Yeah, 7.5 weeks.
7.5 weeks.
I got one of those sleep trackers. Yeah. I don't think I've got more than about 5 since she was born. 5 hours, something like that.
Well, this is the whole thing, right? Every time you talk about babies, the focus always goes to parents, doesn't it? It's always about, aren't the parents tired? Aren't the parents, you know?
Yes, they are, Charles. Yes, they are.
Sick of being weed on. Well, at last, somebody is focusing on the babies.
Right, babies. About time. About time, isn't it?
There's a shop in the Gold Coast that has just launched, this is absolutely true, the My Baby Bubble Massage, Spa and Wellness Centre for Babies.
What?
If you're a baby and you're sick of, you know, being weeing on your dad and, you know, sick of, I don't know, being all crying all the time, all night, having to do all that.
So it's the idea
you go into this massage parlor and they give you a massage and they put you in a little mini ring and you float in your spa.
Is it just me or does the term massage parlor make it sound a bit sus?
Yeah, no, that is a bit odd to be offering happy endings to a six-week-old person. No. That's very strange. Is that that sort of place or is it more a relaxing spa?
No, it's a classy spa. It's like, okay, it's relaxing. Like, you know how women, you know, the mums
like
have always
a day spa.
Had one. Yeah, it's like a day spa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, got it.
And in actual fact, they've even launched an advertising campaign today about it.
Tired from a hard night of crying? Want a break from your hectic schedule of sucking and pooing? Feel like you're the only one who even cares whether Mr. Plushy gets enough hugs or not? Come on down to My Baby Bubble Spa. From the people who invented Weight Watchers for babies comes a new concept in day spas. Unwind in the baby spa as you let the worries of the past 3 weeks since you were born melt away. Sip on organic breast milk sourced from the finest supermodels of the French Riviera while we exfoliate you to get rid of the haggard look of your aging skin. And don't worry, at My Baby Bubble Spa, we'll suck on your dummy so you don't have to. We'll even urinate on your parents for you. My Baby Bubble Spa. You're never too young to be ripped off.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Ah. The dark side of beloved children's character, Peppa Pig, Charles.
Oh, yeah.
Very dodgy.
Yes. Well, the whole thing about Peppa Pig is that it's been banned in China.
Andrew, you've been looking at this. What's been going on?
I mean, you heard Peppa Pig is a gangster show? It's been banned in China.
Yes.
By a major video app. They mysteriously removed all their Peppa Pig videos. And the leading theory is because it's too gangster. People are getting Peppa tattoos. That's something only gangsters do in China. Now, I would have thought it's a pretty innocent show, but I switched it on this morning and discovered it's actually more gangster than you would think.
Peppa Pig. Daddy Pig goes medieval on an ice addict.
Daddy Pig is an ice dealer. When Daddy Pig is paid on time, everything is fine. If an addict slips behind in his payments, everything is not fine. Limbs go missing. People go missing. So it is very important that Daddy Pig gets paid on time. Sometimes Daddy Pig doesn't get paid on time.
Peppa, George, has Rebecca Rabbit paid for the hit she had this morning?
No, Mummy.
Oh dear, that makes Daddy Pig very grumpy.
Daddy Pig needs to show Rebecca Rabbit who's boss.
I'm off to work.
Daddy, can we help you kill her execution style with a gun to the back of her head?
Peppa is going to load the shotgun and George is going to pull the trigger.
Of course, Peppa.
Rebecca Rabbit is begging for her life.
I promise I'm good for it.
I am the one who knocks.
Let's take her out. No, no.
Good work. She was a very naughty rabbit, but at least she won't be a problem from now on.
Her brains are all over my face.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
One of the heads that has been talking is the head of the NBN. This guy, he's been talking to the parliament, or, you know, politicians, and he's been standing there trying to sort of justify why the NBN is so incredibly slow.
Why is it, Andrew?
Well, he's got a reason. he says, it's gamers who are playing games online and using the NBN.
Oh,
it's their fault that it's slow.
I'm disgusted by that because nobody knew that there was such a thing as gamers wanting to use the internet. The NBN couldn't possibly have known this would have happened. This is a complete surprise to everybody.
Wait a minute. So he's saying, they're clogging up the NBN.
Well, yeah. Look, the problem is that the NBN is being used by its customers. Mm. And this is causing it to be slow for all the other customers who are also trying to use it at the same time. Yeah. He's suggested that you even put some limits on the use of the thing. Like he said something like, "This is where you introduce traffic shape. You know, we can only offer you a service," he said, "when you're not impacting somebody else."
Have you noticed that a lot of NBN companies, like a lot of providers, have started doing unlimited plans? So it clearly needs unlimited asterisk unless you want to play games or do anything that requires any internet access.
What does he mean? We can only send half an email now, and then we just we've reached our quota for the day. So stop, get off the internet halfway into the mail.
Well, exactly, because your email's stopping somebody else from sending an email.
I love the
Chris.
Phrase traffic shape too. Like, is that one of Arnott's new shapes?
Tell you what, the way
it's going, shape, pizza shape, and traffic shape.
You're gonna have to watch very very short pornos. It's only gonna be premature stuff.
Oh, so me having sex.
10 seconds. 10 seconds. That's it. And then you're
out. It's a real erection stopper, this one. But look, they've even released an ad trying to explain their new position.
Hi, I'm some guy from the National Broadband Network. Are you not getting the internet speed you expect?
No, it's really slow.
Well, rest assured, that's not the NBN's fault.
Whose fault is it then?
It's the fault of people who use the NBN.
Really?
People using the internet clog the internet, ruining it for everyone else.
But what about everyone else? Aren't they using the internet too?
Yes, they are. Everyone is ruining the NBN by using it.
So what's the solution?
Simple. If you want fast internet, don't use the internet.
Written and authorised by somebody from the NBN. If only our broadband speeds were as fast as my voice, we wouldn't need this ad.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Yes, budget night. Be warned, Australia, although there is one detail that's already been leaked and put out to try and get a little bit of interest in Scott Morrison, a big task. It is a $10 a week tax cut for low and middle income earners, apparently.
It's a big bickies, isn't it? $10.
That's right. If you're on 90 grand a year, your tax cut's going to be $10. Mm. That's huge. That's huge. What are you going to use? You know, your $10.
Me and my partner have already been talking about it. Yeah. We've got a strategy because, look, we sort of scrimp a little bit, you know, trying to save for the mortgage and so forth. But now that I've got $10 more a week, it's luxury time. Mm. So at the moment, we buy, you know, like kitchen absorbent towelette stuff. We buy home brand. Mm. I'm now going to get the Handy Ultra.
Oh, you're going to get the ones that don't dissolve.
You know, the stuff that Matt Preston advertises.
That's fantastic.
$10 goes a long way. I think for me, Andrew, what would you spend $10?
Oh, look, well, you know, I'm a dad. I'm a new dad, so I'm so excited. I reckon I might even start buying the non-toxic baby wipes instead of the ones that give the baby psoriasis.
Right.
Oh, I'm so excited.
I'm thinking movies, because I love movies, and I've been able to afford to go for a while. So I think it pays for half a movie. So Avengers Infinity War, you don't need to see the ending of that, do you?
I reckon for $10 you'd get into the trailers. $30 to see a movie now.
Or you could get a small popcorn for $10 probably.
Maybe one piece of popcorn.
Kernel.
I'll tell you what, if you're wondering whether this budget is an election budget and all designed to just make people vote for the coalition, wonder no more, because the federal government is already rolling out ads to spruik their $10 a week budget tax cut thing.
The federal government has announced sweeping tax cuts of $10 a week.
Sorry,
for low
I just want to start that again. That didn't really get the send off it deserved. Did you know? Wondering if this was an election budget.
Can I hire Charles to do my answering machine messages? That was just a joy to watch.
But the tax cut thing that we're talking about
$10 a week.
Yes, tax cut. Wouldn't have been front of mind or anything.
Well, the good news is that the government's already apparently doing ads boasting about the $10 a week tax cut.
And oh, really?
Charles, they sound like this. You might like them.
Oh, really?
The federal government has announced sweeping tax cuts of $10 a week for low-income earners. What will you do with your $10?
I'll now be able to afford one-third of a pack of cigarettes every week. Lucky I'm a third of a pack a week kind of smoker.
My tax cut would allow me to have a great night out once a week, as long as I only feel like drinking two mid-strength minis and I don't need to get home at the end of the night.
I'm going to save up my tax cut. In 15 years' time, I'll have enough for a four-day stay for the family in Coffs Harbour, not including meals, transport or entry to the Big Banana. Thanks, Scott Morrison.
The federal government tax cuts. Buying your vote has never been cheaper.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Charles Firth, Chaz Lichidello, Andrew Hansen here. My name is Dom Knight, and the whole nation is talking about Olivia Newton-John, which seems like a strange thing to do in 2018. But Andrew Hansen, you've been following this up.
Yes, well, we're all talking about Olivia Newton-John, or at least the person who was on the TV pretending to be Olivia Newton-John, who was somebody else entirely.
Was that somebody else?
Did you not notice, Charles?
I just assumed it was Olivia Newton-John reprising her starring role as herself.
Right, yeah, with a surprisingly different hairstyle that looked like a wig. Well, or lots of wigs. I mean, look, it had a few flaws, didn't it, the Olivia TV series last night. For instance, she was obviously Delta Goodrum in a series of wigs, and some of the exotic locations appear to have been shot in Melbourne.
But didn't you go to school with Delta Goodrum / Olivia Newton-John?
Oh, she was at my school. Not at the same time. She was a bit after me because she's bit younger, but yeah, look, I've done my own Olivia Newton-John biopic. That was part of the graduation requirements at our school.
can I make the point that they're going to make a biopic of Delta Goodrum one day, so why doesn't she film it right now rather than getting, say, Charles to play Delta Goodrum with a wig in 20 years' time?
No, they're going to make Olivia Newton-John look 80 years younger, and she's going to play Delta. It's going to be great.
I think Delta pretty much is making her own biopic here because it's so unlike Olivia. It's so obviously Delta Goodrum. It really is the Delta Goodrum story.
I could imagine Chaz playing Mark Philippoussis in the Delta Goodrum story. Would that be
the nicest thing you've ever said about me? Lovely Philippoussis chair. Well, look, anyway, if you are wondering what is coming up next on the Olivia / Delta Goodrum contractual obligation vehicle voice cross promotion, we have the official trailer for part two of Olivia. Take a listen.
This week on Olivia.
I love singing with you, John Travolta.
Likewise, Olivia Newton-John. Wait. Are you wearing a wig?
No, this loosely fitted thatch that doesn't match my skin colour is my hair.
Hopelessly devoted and hopelessly designed.
So, John, welcome to the French Riviera.
It looks suspiciously like an Australian beach.
We're in France, I promise.
Then why is that kiosk selling meat pies and paddle pops?
Oi, our paddle pops are fair dinkum French tucker.
And are you wearing a wig?
It's the wiggest television event of the year.
Wait. You're not even Olivia. You're Delta Goodrum in a wig.
No, I'm not.
Oh, really? Then what would you do without me?
All I know is I'm lost without you. I'm not gonna lie. Ooh, what a giveaway. But my hair is real, I swear.
Olivia, it doesn't get much wigger than this.
It's not a wig, all right? I was just born with a big shadow between my scalp and my hair.
Radio Chaser. Platinum Edition.
So, another day, another bank scandal. So, the Commonwealth Bank today has settled a money laundering case. It's just a tiny little matter, nothing much, just 53,000 cases of money laundering over a number of years.
I really think their campaigns completely backfires. Like, whatever your customers want, we'll do it.
Yeah.
No, it's money laundering, that's not what you do, Commonwealth Bank.
So apparently word got around that their ATMs would basically allow you to put tens of thousands of dollars of cash through them every day. And so all the drug dealers and terrorists out there went, cool, let's launder our money through Commonwealth Bank. And Commonwealth Bank went, we can, yeah.
Normally you'd have to go to a casino for that kind of service.
Yeah, that's right. So, but the fine was supposed to be $18 million per breach. And so somebody worked out that 53,000 times 18 million is over $1 trillion. Anyway. But so,
I think that's a can't. Yeah. I think that's an absolute can't for the Commonwealth Bank.
Yeah, something like that. And anyway, so the Commonwealth Bank sat down. This is what banks can do, which nobody else can do. They sat down and they negotiated their fine. And they said, how about we just give you, I don't know.
$2.
Like, yeah, well, $700 million, which is like 0.0053% of their revenue or something. And just today they went, oh, yeah, okay, whatever.
We've actually got some audio of the negotiations.
Oh, really?
It was pretty heated in that room. Have a listen.
Right, Mr. Common, you're under arrest. We've caught you red-handed. Bankrolling criminal cartels for years.
And you ain't got nothing on me.
53,000 times. All the evidence is here. Drug dealers, terrorists. You're going down. You're going to die in jail.
I didn't know nothing.
We've got transcripts of meetings where you admit everything.
Okay. Let's cut a deal.
Okay, who can you give us?
No one. I ain't rolling on no one.
Well, what makes you think we'll cut a deal if you're not prepared to roll? You think I was born yesterday?
Look, Mr. Cop, this only ends one way. You give me a slap on the wrist and I'll be on my way.
We can bury you with this evidence. What makes you think you can just walk out of here? We know you.
You don't know me. I've done things a royal commission would not believe. Half my customers are dead. So how about you fellas give me a little slap on the wrist and I'll be on my way.
There is literally nothing you can tell me that will bury this evidence. What on earth makes you think you're not going down for a very long time?
I run a bank.
Oh, okay. You're free to go.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
You guys across this new Todd Sampson show on Channel 10?
Oh,
yeah, the green guy.
Madness.
He's like this superhero. He most famously started out on Gruen. He's formerly an advertising exec, and he wears t-shirts. Yeah, he's the cool guy on the Gruen transfer. But now he's got this second career where he puts his body and his mind through the most extraordinary challenges. Mm. And is it just me? Or is it getting a bit too full on?
Tonight on 10, Todd Sampson continues his mission to prove he's way more amazing than the rest of us. Nervous that we weren't suitably impressed when he wrestled with lions while ascending Mount Everest. TV's biggest alpha male tonight goes one better, strapping piranhas to his testicles while walking across the Grand Canyon on a tightrope that hasn't actually been tied at one end. Then, using nothing but mental strength and preposterous levels of vanity, Todd lets himself get beheaded by ISIS. Not once, not twice, but three times. And lives to smugly tell the tale. And, in the ultimate test of endurance, can Todd sit through an entire episode of Gruen without wearing one of his pretentious Look At Me t-shirts? That's tonight on Body Hack. One man's quest to test his tolerance for pain. And an audience's quest to test their tolerance for Todd.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.
Cat's pajamas or cat's piss?
Now, Chris Charles, let's go to Aurora in Colorado, where a woman's been cited for property damage after she used the microwave in a 7-Eleven to heat up a bottle filled with urine. I love it when cat's piss is actually about piss. She was trying to beat some sort of drug test at work. I think it might have been frozen, and she'd bought pee. She was trying to heat it up in the microwave. Unfortunately, it exploded everywhere, and she ran out of the store. Mm-hmm. But my question to you, can you use a 7-Eleven microwave to heat up anything you like, including urine? Is that cat's pajamas or cat's piss? Is it just a free microwave, or are there rules?
Look, I suspect the owner of the particular franchise thinks it's just to heat up the almost unheatable frozen burgers and pies you get in those sorts of establishments. Mm. But just have a moment to think about the poor people of Canada, where it's freezing, and you're trying to do the right thing and deliver your urine sample to be drug tested at work. It freezes overnight. Of course, you've got to find some way to thaw it. Mm. I want to applaud this woman for having the ingenuity to go into the nearest public microwave and try and fix what was a very difficult problem. Cat's pajamas.
I think this is cat's piss. I think what has happened here is this woman is a cheat. She has clearly gone off and frozen a whole lot of samples in her freezer.
I think she's stockpiling people's urine.
Stockpiling urine. And it's a common problem. Look, when I used to stockpile my urine, it's a common problem. When you heat it up and you don't take the lid off enough, it explodes.
Does it?
Yes. It's a basic error.
Would her mistake to have been to put, like, a hamburger in with the urine?
Yes.
So she overcrowded the microwave.
Oh,
so not only did she get exposed with her urine test, she also got a very wet, damp, piss-soaked hamburger.
Mind you, that is actually all 7-Eleven hamburgers come out like that after
that
the microwave.
It's called a convenience store. Sure, it's there for your convenience, isn't it? Urine sterile. It's probably cleanest the microwave's ever been.
Yeah.
Radio Chaser, Platinum Edition.